In John 18, verses 1 to 11 is probably one of the most fabulous stories in the New Testament about Jesus Christ and what he did and how he lived. And I love to read this story. You know all about it. It's the night they came to the garden to get Jesus. And it was the night that Judas would betray him. And it was the eve of the crucifixion. And they would bring 800 soldiers to obtain one carpenter. And they came with torches, they came with lanterns, they came with swords, thinking they would have to search for him in the garden, had to fight to obtain him. But he would meet them at the entryway to the garden. He would come to them and ask the question, "Whom do you seek?" And of course, they would respond by saying, "Jesus of Nazareth." And of course, Jesus said, "I am he." And upon saying those words, all 800 men fell over backwards. And then they got back up again. And he asked them a question again. "Who do you seek?" And of course, they were looking for Jesus of Nazareth. And he would give himself into their hands. John 18 is the classic illustration of true meekness. It is the illustration in the New Testament that helps us understand what it means to be meek. Jesus, the Almighty One, was taken prisoner. Yet he was the free man. He was the one in absolute control of the events. And of course, you know the story. He was crucified. He died, was buried, and rose again the third day. But John 18 is a passage of a paradox. And the Bible is full of them. And Jesus is the master of the paradox. He says that if you want to be first, you must be last. If you want to receive, you must give. If you want to live, the path to life is to die. If you want to find your life, you must first of all lose your life. If you want to be great, you must first of all become the least. If you want to become rich, then you, of course, must be poor. If you want to be strong, you must be weak. And if you want to rule, you have to serve. That's Jesus. Everything is totally different than what we're used to. Everything that we would hear in society, Jesus is just the opposite. And by using paradoxes, he gets our attention. And so when we come to Matthew chapter 5, and we read in verse number 5, "Blessed are the gentle," or "blessed are the meek, for they shall inherit the earth." That's quite a paradox. So what does that mean? Our outline is the same as it was the first few weeks. We're going to define for you that condition. Describe to you then the consequences of meekness. Detail the characteristics. And then leave understanding our course of action. First of all, defining the condition. What it's not versus what it is. It is not weakness, but it is strength. And I think that you're going to really love how this is portrayed in Scripture. And hopefully you'll leave this evening with a greater understanding as to what meekness is all about. But it does not denote cowardice. It does not denote spinelessness or timidity or an attitude of peace at any cost. It does not imply shyness or a withdrawn personality, nor can it be reduced to a mere niceness. It says in Numbers 12, verse 3, that Moses, the man Moses, was very meek above all the men on the face of the earth. Now, when I read that and I go through the life of Moses, I have a hard time understanding how the Bible could say that he was the meekest man upon the face of the earth. But when you study the Bible and understand what it means to be meek, you can understand why Moses was called the meekest man on the face of the earth. So what does it mean? Well, it doesn't mean weakness, but it does mean strength. William Barclay says that the word has a caress in it. Note this, that in classical Greek, the word was used to describe an animal that was tame. It was used to describe a soothing medicine. It was used to describe a mild word or a gentle breeze. Are you with me so far? That's important to note. Why? Because the word implies self-control. That helps us understand what this word means. It helps us to understand that the significance of this word is that behind it is supreme power, but that power is controlled. And that's why John 18 is the classic illustration of understanding meekness, because Christ himself had supreme power, but it was all under control as those 800 soldiers would take him prisoner. Helps you understand Ephesians 4, verse number 26. Be angry and sin not. There is a godly kind of anger. And there's also a godless kind of anger. Proverbs 16:32 says that he that is slow to anger is better than the mighty, and he that ruleth his spirit than he that taketh a city. That's meekness. It is power that is under control. Moses had it. Jesus had it. And we're going to look at a number of men in the Bible who had that character quality. But let's move on to point number two, describing the consequences. The consequences for today, and of course, the consequences for tomorrow. Today, the Bible says, blessed are the meek, for they shall inherit the earth. True blessing, lasting joy, comes only to those who are meek. Blessed are they, and they only, emphatic, are the blessed ones, and those are those who are meek. The rich and the proud, the powerful, they want more. They can't seem to get enough. But the meek, they are free from that attitude of just give me a little bit more. You know why? Because they have it all anyway. The earth is theirs. But how about tomorrow? The Bible says that you will inherit the earth. You will get that allotted portion to you. One day it's all going to be yours. We will reign on earth with the Lord Jesus in the coming literal kingdom, according to Revelation 20, verse number 6. Psalm 37, verses 9 to 11 says, evildoers shall be cut off, but those who wait upon the Lord shall inherit the earth. The meek shall inherit the earth. But let's look at point number three and detail the characteristics. What does someone who is meek look like? I want to give you several characteristics this evening, looking at several individuals in the Bible to help you understand meekness. Turn back with me to Genesis chapter 45. We'll begin right there. Genesis chapter 45. The story, of course, is about Joseph and how he was mistreated by his brothers. You know the story. He was sold into Egypt as a slave, lied about by his master's wife. He was put into prison. But one day, Joseph was elevated to become the prime minister of Egypt. And he had the power to revenge himself on his master's wife. But there is no record that he ever did. And one day, his brothers show up. His brothers, of course, were the ones who had thrown him in a pit and sold him into slavery, and you know the story. But his brothers showed up one day. And Joseph, of course, recognized his brothers and goes to a scenario of events where they never really recognized him, but he wanted to make sure they really confessed their sins and they had a real, true, repentant spirit. And finally, one day, he revealed himself to his brothers. And I want you to note what he says, because what he says gives you the first character quality of someone who is meek. Genesis chapter 45, verse number 1. Then Joseph could not control himself before all those who stood by him, and he cried, "Have everyone get out from here, or from me." So there was no man with him when Joseph made himself known to his brothers. And he wept so loudly that the Egyptians heard it, and the household of Pharaoh heard of it. Then Joseph said to his brothers, "I am Joseph. Is my father still alive?" But his brothers could not answer him, for they were dismayed at his presence. They were bewildered. They couldn't believe that their brother was before them. They thought he was at best a slave someplace, or at worst dead. But here he is, prime minister of Egypt. They were dismayed. Now note, then Joseph said to his brothers, please come closer to me. Come here. Come close. And they came closer. And he said, I am your brother Joseph, whom you sold into Egypt. I wonder how he said that. I wonder if he said, I'm your brother Joseph, who you sold into Egypt. How would have you said it? How would it come across when you would confront that individual who had wronged you so badly years ago? And for 13 years, you went from prison to prison and from turmoil to turmoil, and things never went well. How would you respond to that individual? Remember me? You don't remember, do you? Let me refresh your memory. I'll tell you what happened. I'll tell you what you did. Joseph said, I'm your brother. Remember the one you sold? To make sure they understood that he understood, and that they knew and he knew they were related. Then says this, and now do not be grieved or angry with yourselves because you sold me here. For God sent me before you to preserve life. Isn't that good? God sent me here. What a perspective. Read on. For the famine has been in the land these 2 years, and there are still 5 years in which there will neither be plowing nor harvesting. And what does it say? God sent me before you to preserve for you a remnant in the earth and to keep you alive by a great deliverance. Now, therefore, it was not you who sent me here, but who? God. Isn't that good, man? Read on. And he has made me a father to Pharaoh and the Lord of all his household and ruler over all the land of Egypt. Hurry and go up to my father and say to him, thus says your son Joseph, God has made me Lord of all Egypt. You see the emphasis on God? Here's the first character quality of someone who is meek. They have an allegiance to and an assurance of God's sovereignty. That's point number one. Point number two, benevolence. Benevolence toward your enemy. Over in 2 Samuel 16, turn there with me if you would, please. Verse number 5, when David, or King David, came to Bahurim, behold, there came out from there a man of the family, the house of Saul, whose name was Shimei, the son of Gera. He came out cursing continually as he came, and he threw stones at David and at all the servants of King David, and all the people and all the mighty men were at his right hand and at his left. And thus Shimei said when he cursed, get out, you man of bloodshed and worthless fellow. The Lord has returned upon you all the bloodshed of the house of Saul, in whose place you have reigned, and the Lord has given the kingdom into the land of your son Absalom. And behold, you are taken in your own evil, for you are a man of bloodshed. Understand the scene? This man comes out, and he's on a mountaintop, and he's hurling rocks at David, man. He's just firing at him. He's cursing at him. Absalom had rebelled against his father. He had run David out of Jerusalem, and there had been much bloodshed. And Shimei is saying, you've got exactly what you deserve, man. Everything's coming your way. You deserve it, David. You're a cursed man. And if you were King David, what would you do? Take up my bow, shoot him right off of there. He'd be a dead man.
Then verse number 9. This is unbelievable. Then Abishai, the son of Zeruiah, said to the king, why should this dead dog curse my lord the king? Let me go over now and cut off his head. That's my kind of man right there. But the king said, What have I to do with you, O sons of Zeruiah? If he curses, and if the Lord has told him, curse David, then who shall say, why have you done so? Read on, down to verse 12, perhaps, or verse 11. Let him alone and let him curse, for the Lord has told him. Perhaps the Lord will look on my affliction and return good to me instead of his cursing this day. Man, that's unbelievable. That David said, look, maybe the Lord told him to curse me today. When's the last time you said, you know what, maybe the Lord told my boss to curse me out today? You ever taken that attitude? Maybe that's just what's supposed to be happening here. Maybe him cursing me out is not near as bad as me getting fired today. But that's a man of meekness. A man who is benevolent toward his enemy. He shows him kindness. He shows him goodness when he has the power to destroy his life. How about you? Are you one who is assured of God's sovereignty? So much so that you understand that all the affliction, all the bad that's come your way, God has had his hand in it. And it's God who has put you where you are, as Joseph did. Are you like David, who understands that to be good towards your enemy, to show him goodness when you could destroy his life, is what God wants you to do? Jesus would go on to speak about that in Matthew chapter 5, wouldn't he? You have heard that it was said, an eye for an eye and a tooth for a tooth. But I say to you, pray for those who persecute you. Love them. Love your enemy. You have heard that it was said that you're to hate your enemy. I'm telling you, you're to love your enemy. That's meekness. And that's what God wants us to understand. But there's a third one over in Philippians chapter 3. Philippians chapter 3, verse number 3. For we are the true circumcision, Paul says, who worship in the Spirit of God and glory in Christ Jesus and put no confidence in the flesh. Paul would go on to say in verse number 13 of chapter 4, I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. The third aspect of one who is meek is that they have confidence in the Almighty. And then fourthly, deference within the family. Deference within the family. Turn back with me to Genesis chapter 13. Stories of Abraham and Lot. Abraham was living in Ur of the Chaldees, and God had made a covenant with him back in Genesis chapter 12. He said, get out of this country and from thy kindred and from thy father's house into a land I will show you, and I will make you a great nation. Abraham had received the covenant from God that he would be a father of a great nation. So Abraham left Ur and he took his nephew Lot with him. In Genesis chapter 13, it says this in verse number 7. And there was strife between the herdsmen of Abraham's livestock and the herdsmen of Lot's livestock. There arose a dispute. And Abraham could have pulled ranks, but listen very carefully as we read on. Now the Canaanite and the Perizzite were dwelling then in the land. Then Abraham said to Lot, please let there be no strife between you and me, nor between my herdsmen and your herdsmen, for we are brothers. Is not the whole land before you? Please separate from me. If to the left, then I will go to the right. Or if to the right, then I will go to the left. And Lot lifted up his eyes and saw all the valley of the Jordan, that it was well watered everywhere. This was before the Lord destroyed Sodom and Gomorrah, like the garden of the Lord, like the land of Egypt, as you go to Zoar. Abraham had been given the land. Abraham was the father of the covenant. Abraham could have pulled rank on his nephew Lot, but he deferred to his nephew.
He said, you go to the left or you go to the right. If you go left, I'll go right. If you go right, I'll go left. And Abraham did not argue with Lot. He let him take whatever land he wanted. He did not enforce his position of power and privilege. The reason being is because he knew God was in control and that God would work out things just as he wanted them to be worked out. That's an illustration of meekness. Abraham was a man of power. He deferred to his nephew Lot. And also, there's not only deference within the family, but there is a defense of your own authority. A defense of your own authority, and that's God's authority. As you remember Moses, when God came to him in the burning bush, he said, I want you to go and let my people go. Go and represent me. He says, I can't do that. I am inadequate. I am not eloquent. I can't do those kinds of things. I can't stand before those people. But when he came down off the mount after he'd already delivered them, and he burned with anger inside, it was because he was there to defend God, not himself. And a man who is meek is a defender of his authority, God. He will defend God. He will stand up for his God. He will never back down to anybody who goes against his God. And Moses was that kind of man. So a meek person defends his authority with all that he has because he believes in his God. And fifth, in essence, this whole meekness is seen in the life of Jesus, in his patience, in his obedience to his heavenly Father. But he practiced neither retaliation nor a vengeful spirit. When mocked and spat upon, he answered nothing. When betrayed by friends, he uttered no reproach. When Peter denied him, Christ restored him. When Judas kissed him in the garden, Jesus called him his friend. And so he would say in the cross, Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. But when the disciples would hinder the children from coming to Jesus in Mark chapter 10, the Bible says he became incensed, angered, because the Father wants children to come to him. You say, man, I would like to be able to do that. How do I make that work for me? Five ways. One, realize it's a gift. This is our fourth point. Realize it's a gift. Galatians 5, 23. The fruit of the Spirit, love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, kindness. But gentleness, that meekness comes because it's a free gift. Number two, resolve to seek meekness. The Bible says in Zephaniah chapter 2, verse 3, a command, seek meekness. It's something you're to seek after. Thirdly, respond humbly to Scripture. James chapter 1, respond humbly to Scripture. Therefore, putting aside all filthiness and all that remains of wickedness, in humility or in meekness, receive the word implanted, which is able to save your soul. And fourthly, receive criticism with an open mind. The Bible says in Titus chapter 3, verse 2, speak evil of no man, be no brawler, but gentle, showing all meekness unto all men. And lastly, turn with me over to Galatians chapter 6, and we'll close here. If you really want to become a meek person, then you need to restore your sitting brother. Galatians 6, verse 1. Brethren, even if a man is caught in any trespass, you who are spiritual, restore such a one in the spirit of meekness. Each one looking to yourself, lest you too be tempted. Bear one another's burdens, and thus fulfill the law of Christ. For if anyone thinks he is something, when he is nothing, he deceives himself. The true test of meekness is not whether we can say that we are sinners, but rather what we do when someone else calls us vile sinners. And God says to you this evening, do you understand that spirit? If you don't, you give your life to Jesus Christ. He'll teach you what it means to become meek. And if you give your life to Jesus Christ, He wants you to teach, He wants to teach you how you can become the meek individual that lives the blessed life and that one day will inherit the whole earth because God freely gives it to those who are meek. It was Martin Lloyd-Jones who said, how can I know I am truly meek? Who said these words, the man who is truly meek is the man who is amazed that God and man can think of him as well as they do and treat him as well as they do.